Well, today, guess what? No fluff for you. No fluff. I looked up the definition of fluff just to make sure I understood completely what that means. Are you ready for this? What's the matter, Danny? Here we go. You ready? Fluff. Soft fibers from fabrics, usually cotton or wool, clumping up and accumulating in clumps. Or it can be entertainment or writing perceived as very superficial and useless in life. So that's about that's what fluff is, right? Fluff is not, though, God's love or God's grace giving us power. Some churches turn the gospel into fluff, where they go, it's okay, you can live any way you want to, it doesn't matter. And they cheapen the grace of God. They cheapen the love of God. That's not what we're talking about. It is only the love of God that motivates and brings us to faith. We'll talk about it. There it goes again, Daryl. I'm come fading in and out a little bit. You know that I went to a Missouri Synod seminary, was a Missouri Synod pastor. Quite a few things that I had issues with. However, there are a few things that I really agreed with completely, and that was their stance on the Word of God. It was very solid. Right, Robin? We were both taught different states from Missouri Synod pastors, Missouri Synod churches that taught us the Word of God. They pounded the Word of God in us, which is really great. The other thing I really appreciated from the Missouri Synod side was the division of law and gospel. They emphasize that a lot. There are two main teachings in the Bible, the law and the gospel. The law is what we are to be, who we are to, how we are to act, of what God demands of us. It's SOS. It shows us our sin. So the law, we need the law to show us our sin, to show us what is right, what is wrong, to give us a rule for living. But the law does not give the power to do it. The gospel, on the other side, shows us our Savior. One shows us our sin, the other shows us our Savior. The gospel is what God has already done for us in Jesus Christ, completely 100%. And the problem is some churches mix the law and the gospel and say, well, as long as you try hard, God will love you and forgive you. No. Or, the law, that's for the days in the past, the Ten Commandments. That doesn't work anymore. We don't need that anymore. That's baloney. R.C. Sproul says, it is only when we see how bad the bad news is that we realize how good the good news really is. Until we are really have penetrated in our hearts that we are lowly sinners and that we don't go to heaven by our good works, we'll never appreciate the sweetness of the amazing grace of God, right? Having said that, then we turn to Ephesians chapter 5, and it says in one different translation, different than in the outline, is, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children. One of the sad things in my job as a family support partner is seeing children not loved by their parents. They can be youngsters, they can be teenagers. I have teenagers I work with where the mom or the dad cannot see one good thing in their child and will tell them that. And we try to intervene, and no matter what they do, it's never enough. You didn't do this, you didn't do that. We say, okay, let's be strength-based. Let's start with looking at, well, what is it that he does well? I can't think of a blankety blank, blank, blank thing the parent will say right in front of that child over and over again. It's really sad. But if the child knows they're loved by both father and mother, imagine that, right? Having both together, it makes a big difference. And it's a challenge with single parents where they have to bring in twice the amount of love to that child for that child to really feel loved and appreciated. So the Bible talks about that we are deeply loved by our Heavenly Father. More than we can ask, more than we can imagine, more than we can measure. The immeasurable depths of God's love is profound, it's deep. We could go on and on. In fact, we will in heaven, exploring the wonders of God's love and His majesty and His beauty, and on we'll go. It won't be a boring church service because the angels will join us, and it'll be thunderous and powerful and joyful, and will never end. We will never get bored. Amen? And there won't be preaching in heaven. There'll be worship and singing and drum playing, but I don't think there'll be preaching. That's what we need to do right now while we have the time. But God's love is so deep. And so Paul says, before he goes on again about all the behaviors we're called to do and be and exhibit, he says, first of all, realize this, that you are dearly loved children. When you know you're loved by your parents, right? Even if they've gone to heaven, you have that love still in your heart, right? What a difference that makes. And if we didn't get that from our parents, we can get it from others. who step in and stand in the gap and give us that love, and we feel that love. And so that, it's so important that we take time out with our children and we show them and tell them all the time how much we love them, even if they're 60 years old, right? It's never too late, they already know that. No, we need to tell them. So Paul says, be imitators of God. And the Greek word is mimic. Have you ever tried to, like, seen a kid mimic somebody else? I remember years ago when I thought I was going to be a Major League Baseball player, and I would pretend in my backyard I had the home run. I had the whole design for a football field and a baseball field in my backyard, and over the tree was a home run, a ground rule double if it hit the roof. On and on it went. And I would imitate different ball players, and one pitcher, Bob Gibson, would always fall off the mound. And he, of course, he's a Hall of Famer. He could do it. I would do it, and I'd get in trouble. And the coach says, you can't do that. And I go, well, Bob Gibson does it. You know, that's the way he does it. And then I was a young preacher, and I really liked one pastor, a preacher on the Lutheran, Oswald Hoffman. At that time, hard to believe, at that time I only weighed about 140 pounds. Ozzy Hoffman probably weighed about 240. And I would try to have this booming voice. It didn't work at all. It was just, and finally one pastor said, just be yourself. Don't try to be Billy Graham or Ozzy Hoffman or whatever. Just be yourself. But there's something about kids when we're not sure who we are, if we want to latch onto somebody else and imitate them. The problem is, in our world today, with the music and the culture and the movies and the entertainment, kids are following the wrong examples over and over again, and it's very sad, isn't it? But we are called to be imitators of God, not of the world, but of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it says, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, or walk a life of love. We are to walk in that love, to live in that love all the time, right? How's your grade last week on that? We don't always love our neighbors as ourselves. We don't always love others as we should. And we need God's forgiveness over and over and be reminded how deeply and how much God loves us. Amen? And that's not fluff. That's substantial. We need that love. I mean, it's like water to a plant in this wonderful desert heat. Isn't that fun? All right. So we want to talk about this, is that we live a life of love. And we remember that just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. There was a time, it was when my mom passed away, and I didn't know at the time, my son was deeply upset about that. I didn't know it. And I was hadn't talked to him in a day. And later on he told me that the exact time that my mom passed away, it was like 4 o'clock in the morning our time, he was in his bedroom, and all of a sudden he felt a sweet fragrance fill the room. This wonderful fragrance, like jasmine, fill the room. And he thought, well, Crystal must be up and using some perfume. It wasn't her. And he felt this, and it was the exact time that my mom passed away, almost like a reminder that I'm with you. And sometimes there's that heavenly fragrance. I've smelled it one time when I was in prayer with Sandy. I thought, what is this? This wonderful fragrant smell of sweet perfume filled the room, filled the area. Well, when God gave up his son, Jesus, it was such a fragrant offering when Jesus was given up for us on that Good Friday, right? And when you think about the Old Testament, all the burnt offerings and all the sacrifices in the Old Testament, who were they pointing to? All were pointing to Jesus. Every single offering, every single sacrifice in the Old Testament, whether it be morning sacrifice, the evening sacrifice, the burnt offerings, all that was a point to the one who would come eventually and shed his very blood. All the lambs that were offered up, the innocent lambs, were to point to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, who takes away our sin, okay? So the fragrant offering, and it's as though God the Father, who is very righteous and holy but also very loving, would smell this offering coming up to heaven, the sweet smell of that sacrifice from the burnt offerings, and he would realize that he was going to send his son someday to be the sacrifice for your sins and mine. So are there any sins that you committed that can't be forgiven by Jesus? No. We may have a hard time, as we said before, forgiving ourselves, right? But we need to remember, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. All of it, right? So, having said all that, are you ready now? Get us some tough stuff? Here we go. So because of all that, Paul says, but among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Because we are saved, because we are born again, because we've been changed by the love of Jesus, there should be a difference in our attitude and behavior. And the Bible says there shouldn't even be a hint of sexual immorality. It should not be named of us. Anything at all of improper life. I can't talk. Earl gave me this. Remember this, Earl? You know what it is, right? That's another product, right? It's totally awesome, and it is awesome. And Earl said, Pastor, I got this thing for a cleaner for you. I go, well, I already got cleansers, but no, you haven't tried this. And it is totally awesome. It cleanses everything. And what we're talking today about is cleaning up. Because we all need some cleaning up to do. And we need more than this. And even my water, it says purified water. And another water it says pure life. Well, I wish there were a bottle of pure life. You just drank it and it gave you pure life, right? And pure hearts. It doesn't work that way. It's the blood of Jesus. It's the power of God. It's the word of God in our hearts more and more. As we try to become more like Christ, and He cleanses us. And He is totally awesome. Not in the bottle, but it's in our Lord Jesus, who cleanses us. But as we look at this, we all need to have a cleaning time in our lives. We all pick up the dirt, the pollution, the sins of this world, right? Let alone our own sinful nature. And as we've talked about before, it's hard to have purity in our lives. We were talking about that in Bubba Breakfast. For guys, there's so much out there that can lead us astray, impure thoughts and desires. It's all over the place in our world. Everywhere. We may not have pagan temples and prostitutes and all that, but we certainly got immorality in our fingertips, in our smartphones, on our internet, our TV, movies, even commercials. You'd be watching a totally innocent program, and then the commercial comes up, and oh boy. So we all have guards on our eyes. Remember, what was that song in Sunday school? Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. It's a window to the soul. It's opening a doorway, a portal to the soul, a pathway to our hearts. And all the stuff we see and hear all over us, it's everywhere. The junk, the impurity, and it's very hard, and we need God's power to do that. It's very hard to be pure. There's a book entitled Every Man's Battle, which talks about Christian men dealing with pornography and trying to deal with it. And it has some really good tips on that. And women, called to bounce their eyes, not just keep lusting and looking, focusing, but bouncing our eyes off that person that we maybe look at and objectify. So it's a problem in the church that doesn't want to be talked about. So we are called not just to talk about God's love, but also our behavior and impurity. There's a church that's called Pure Heart, and it was started for a reason with that, because they wanted to start the church off right with pure hearts and everyone who was in leadership. Because are all leaders pure, have pure hearts and pure motives? Unfortunately not. And so we all need to clean up. So it's cleaning time. It's time to clean it up. Clean up our act. But it's not us. It's the Lord Jesus. But with sexual immorality, and then I go to the jail on Friday nights, and I did not know this, and I'm glad I didn't, that I was being assigned a group of sex offenders. And I go, oh. And I didn't know it till after I had formed relationships with the men that was the case. And they struggle. They've had struggles in the past, and they've made decisions that ruin their lives. And they'll never come back home again, never leave prison, never leave the jail. But we give them God's grace for those that are repentant, that ask for a pure heart and want to live a new life in Jesus. And we see it happen. It's amazing, absolutely amazing to see God's grace in that situation. But here are some statistics that are very scary. Did you know that every day, 116,000 views on the internet are for child pornography? Every day. 116,000? That's awful. That 1 in 4 girls have been abused. That 1 in 6 boys have been sexually abused. That 35% of all sites or views on the internet are pornography. And we got this all around us. And so we have to cry out, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew in me a right spirit. Because all this filth is everywhere we go. Right? It's everywhere. And so we are called not even to have a hint of sexual immorality, of any kind of impurity. So imagine this water here. It says, what if they took out the word or added something to purified water and said mostly purified water. Most of it. I mean, sometimes it is. Sometimes it's not. Would you want to take a sip of that mostly purified water? And yet, Pastor, we hear that a lot. Well, I mostly don't get in trouble. I mostly don't act out in my addictions. Well, that's good. But look at our life. We can be in such denial of what's really going on in our lives. And there's plenty of impurity, right? And so we need the blood of Jesus again to cleanse us of all unrighteousness and help us to be pure men and women of God. Amen? So sexual immorality shouldn't even be a hint of that. Or greed. There is such an insatiable appetite for bigger and better and newer and nicer, and it'll make us happier. Right? Does it make us happier if we get this stuff? Get a new car, at first it's great, and then we find out things wrong with it, and it's not so fun anymore, right? Or a new house, or new this, or a new that. And our society, the marketing, is driven on, you've got to have more, you've got to have better, because you deserve it. And your life will be happier once you get this, or that, or the other. And we can get bombarded by this everywhere we look, right? And we can try to convince ourselves, well, yes, I do deserve that new car. I deserve this or that. And instead of having a simplified life and being simple, and we say, well, I got to have the bigger and the better. And it's all around us, right? All the time. So the Lord says, be careful about sexual immorality, impurity, or greed. It says, because these are improper for God's holy people. How many churches talk about we're called to holiness? God's holy people, that we are called to be set apart for Him. It says, nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place. I've got quite a few church-going families that I work with that are in crisis, and it's kind of scary how these churchgoers have such filthy language when it really gets stressful in their homes. And you see the real colors coming out of these people, even youngsters. It blows my mind how younger kids or the language they're using. Whoa, where did this come from? You know what happened back when I grew up, if I'd said those words, it'd be a bar of soap down my mouth, like that, right? And I said, oh, I don't like that kind of soap. Can we have at least this kind, this flavor? Whatever, it didn't matter. It was awful. But it is absolute, I can't overemphasize it, how much I hear terrible language from families, the parents, to the kids, and then they wonder why the kids use all these words to them and to other people, and about those in authority, about their teachers. And I was talking to this one kid, we were building a rapport. All of a sudden he says, you know, Perry, you know my teachers are like, I go, no, tell me. They're a bunch of F and S and F and S. Whoa, stop it. And then the mom goes, I just don't know where our children are at nowadays with their lack of respect. They says, they're a bunch of F and S. I go, whoa, well, you wonder where they picked it up. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. But Christians are getting, it's an epidemic of bad language. And we talked about that above breakfast. What things has God changed in our life? We both talked about that. I don't think I talked about it, but it's true. There was a time I went to a Catholic school, and I still remember this. And I was living my own life and falling away from the church. And in this Catholic school, and I still remember it, I was not even thinking. I was using all this terrible language in the classroom with other students. And they're looking at me like, what is your problem? And it was so normal for me at the time, I didn't even think about it. And then it was about 2 months later that I received the Holy Spirit and was moved by the Holy Spirit. He took that totally out of my life. Now, there's other things that I had to deal with, but it's like it was gone completely. And I go, and I was horrified the language I was using without even thinking. So we have to be careful what comes out of our mouth actually starts in our heart. And we need God to purify our hearts, right? Have pure hearts. We need to do this because the world's not going to tell us this. If we don't hear it here, we're not going to hear it anywhere. And these are things that we have to address in the church. And it's time to open up and not shut up about it. And yet, realize that we're all sinners, not be judgmental, and not be harsh. Because there's some churches go the other way, and it's all law. No grace for you, no grace for you, no love for you, and it's just bam, bam, bam. You're no good, you do this wrong, you do that wrong, and the gospel's not even mentioned. Because in the gospel is the only power we have to be able to change, right? So it says there should be no obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking. I remember one time going to a pastor's conference as an intern, and after the session, all of a sudden I saw a whole different side of some pastors, and I was this young intern idealizing all these pastors that I heard about and seen, because I used to go to a church next to the seminary, so I knew a lot of the professors and a lot of pastors. And then I saw a whole different side of when they could let their hair down away from their churches, away from their families. And I go, whoa, what in the heck is this all about? You know, remember one time having a wine and cheese fellowship at a casino in Las Vegas. They had our pastor's conference at a casino in Las Vegas. That was interesting. So we all, it's like, where's the role model? Where's the guide? And I was looking for someone to have as a role model, and I realized some of those pastors certainly weren't it, as I saw the real lives come out. But we all have stuff in our lives that if we would show on a movie projector today, on a PowerPoint, here is so-and-so's life, what they did today, what the sins that came to this past week, and look and reading the thoughts. So these are the thoughts they really had about you, and when they were smiling at you. Wouldn't that be scary if we had that all projected? That will happen the last day to unbelievers, but to believers, their sins will be washed away. So we all need, yes, we could use Earl's totally awesome. It works a lot. But we need something even more than this. We need this in here and here so that we walk the right way with God. And we all fail. We all fail so much in our world today because it's so polluted, right? So the Lord and the Holy Spirit may be speaking to us and saying, change your life and change your ways. So we don't want to do coarse joking and obscenity. In other words, thing in the seminary, I was remembering too, say, well, Luther used coarse language. Well, Luther's not Jesus Christ. He's not my role model. He's great things, but it's Jesus Christ. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. Or you're just being pietous. Or you're just being Pelagianism because you're thinking you're good enough with your own good works and being a good Christian. And we had professors that would make fun of those that were pietous, that just were trying to live holy lives and saying, well, they're not very Lutheran. And, oh, my goodness. So anyway, thanks be to God, yeah, right. But rather, Paul says, instead of all this stuff coming out of our mouths, it should be thanksgiving. If we have an attitude of gratitude, won't that change our sinful hearts and our darkened hearts if we're positive and we're thanking God? I still remember Alex thanking God for all he was given, even when he's going through cancer treatments. You know, that is only God can do that. We can see the good coming out of all that horrible stuff you went through in cancer, you know, your surgery, to see God pull you through, and to see God at work, and be positive and say, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. I don't understand all this, but I know you're going to get us through this, and we thank you ahead of time. That's powerful praise, right? And that chases the devil away, and chases all that junk away, when we're in praise and thanksgiving to our great God, right? It was really neat, by the way, a couple songs ago, just watching you worship. It was so cool seeing people really getting into worship and engaging with God. That's what worship's all about. And that changes our attitude. If we're praising God and thanking God, we don't have time to be complaining and griping and going into the dark side. You don't want to go on the dark side, right? No, no. Now it says this, for this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Can it be any plainer than that? Right? So if a person lives in this, doesn't mean if we commit those sins we're going to hell and not forgiven, but if we continue in these activities and continue in this attitude and live that out day after day with impenitent hearts and no repentance, there's no forgiveness. There's no inheritance. It says, let no one deceive you with empty words. Literally, that means fluff. It says, let no one deceive you with fluff. Empty words, what are empty words? In the Greek, it means totally void of any nutrition or usefulness, words that are absolutely worthless. Words like, oh, it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. It doesn't matter how you live. Just try to be a good person, good enough. No, that's not what God calls us to do and to be, right? He calls us to be holy. And he reminds us that those who live in this complacency, self-satisfied, oh, everything's okay, everything's wonderful, right? It's like a road. You're on a road and there's a bridge and the bridge is out. And there's someone warning saying, don't keep going. The bridge is out down here, and they go, oh, this is fine. I don't see any problems. And off they go over the cliff. And so we don't want people to do that, right? Or ourselves. We are called to hear the truth, speak the truth in love, and encourage people while it's still time to repent and get back to Jesus. getting back with him, right? It says, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. Have you ever seen family members or people come together and they're going to join and they're going to work together and they're going to start a new business? And you know those people, you know it's not going to work out. And they're all thinking, oh, this will be great, and we'll have our own little business. And they don't have a business plan. They don't have it figured out. Or what are the strengths of this person and weaknesses, and what will this person do? And you ask them, well, how are you going to divide up? Who's going to do what? Oh, we'll just figure it out as we go along. That's not going to work, right? Or what about when you have disagreements? Oh, we won't have disagreements. It'll be fine. Don't worry about it. That's not going to work, is it? And that's like Christians saying, well, they're nice, and I can be partners with them. I just don't participate. The closer we get with people who live in the world and live in the darkness, it rubs off on us, doesn't it? I know it does for me. If I'm with that kind of person all the time and hearing all this stuff over and over and all the junk, it's like I feel like I have to take a bath, a spiritual bath sometimes after being out in the world, right? We need to change our clothes. Sometimes we go into the homes that, shall we say, are not that clean. Roaches, bed bugs, all kinds of creepy crawly things that we go into homes. And a lot of us, as soon as we get done with that visit, we're driving as fast as we can back home to take a shower, change clothes or whatever. Some people even have a bag of fresh clothes in the car and will change immediately because they don't know what they're bringing in to their homes. And it's not real fun. And sometimes we have the authority to say, look, we're not going to meet in the home anymore. We have to meet at the office. But in the same way the world, we can pick up all this junk in the world and all this garbage and all this pollution, and next thing you know, we're talking and we're living like the world. Finally, the Bible says, do not be conformed. It's one of our verses we've had recently in our verses, right? Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, we need to renew our minds, right? We need to clean up. It's a cleaning day. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, forgive us all for impure thoughts, hearts, desires, actions, Lord, sexually, or what we say, or greed, or covetousness, or selfishness, or pride. Cleanse us now, Lord Jesus. We come before you with dirty clothes and dirty hearts and dirty minds, and we ask that you put on the robe of righteousness and your forgiveness. Cleanse us of all unrighteousness. We come before you humbly and ask for your forgiveness. Lord, in your mercy, we ask, Lord, that you clean us and cleanse us. Yet we ask, Lord, that you help us to change and help us, if we need to talk to a Christian brother or sister and get encouragement and support to overcome sinful bad habits that we've accumulated in our lives. We want to be more like you, Jesus. We are called to imitate you and this church to imitate you. We thank you, Lord, for the love we have in this church. We thank you, Lord, that you have given up your very life as a sacrifice for our sins. We ask, Lord, do not take your Holy Spirit from us. We cannot change. We cannot do anything, Lord. We cry out to you, Lord. We need your power, your higher power, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the Heavenly Father who loves us so much. We ask, Lord, be with our children and grandchildren. We ask, be with those children that don't feel loved by, Lord. We ask, Lord, change our world. Change this nation. Lord, in your mercy.